go next to Shelley. Shelley, welcome to Open Lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Adam. I was one of the hostages in the bank yesterday.
Really? What?
Yeah, I was a customer.
Tell us what happened. Like, around what time did you get there?
Well, it was actually, ironically, it was my first time ever at that bank. Yeah. I happened to have an appointment with the bank manager at exactly 11 o'clock. And I guess they decided that they had planned a robbery at 11 o'clock on June 28th. Yeah, it was my bad luck.
So what happened? Like, so you're in the bank, or
I want to just tell you why I'm calling you, though.
Okay.
Can I just tell you a little bit of a
story?
Yeah. I listen to you all the time.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I live in Langford.
Yeah.
And I was driving into my bank appointment, and I was listening to you speak yesterday, as you do, about defunding and supporting the police, the Victoria Police, and how the city, the Victoria, and the defunding of the police, and then the Saanich Police, and how the Saanich support the police, and Victoria doesn't, et cetera, et cetera. Your yesterday's discussion. And I've been listening to that discussion on my way in, and I park my vehicle in the parking lot at the Bank of Montreal, and I go to my appointment. And then this incident happened. And I was cowering under a desk as I hear bullets being fired, and this whole incident happened. And later, every single officer that I interacted with, and I thanked every single officer, every first responder, every victim assistance person that I interacted with all day yesterday. And I told them this little story. And I said, I will be calling Adam Sterling tomorrow morning, and I will be praising every single one of you. I will be thanking you on the air tomorrow morning. And they said, oh, well, thank you very much. But that's why I am calling you now.
Shelley,
I am giving a shout out to them, because every single one of them in this chaotic, frenetic, absolutely insane incident that happened in Victoria, where there were armed men with assault rifles, they handled themselves, every single one of them, so professionally. And then later dealing with the 22 of us in the bank, a few customers and mostly staff who were held hostage, they were caring and calm and kind, and there were so many officers dealing with us and helping us all along the whole path yesterday.
All right. Shelley,
I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, oh, absolutely I do, Shelley. So you had an appointment for 11 o'clock. Around what time did you arrive at the bank?
Well, actually, I'm on time.
You're on time.
I'm usually late. It's a bit of a joke, but actually right on time. And I had an appointment with the bank manager.
Okay, so it's 11 o'clock. You're parking your vehicle in the parking lot. You walk into the bank. What happens next?
And just happened to sit down with the manager.
Yeah.
And we had spoken for probably 2 minutes, and all of a sudden there's a loud boom, like the loudest explosion.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay. What happens
and
then?
And then it's dead silent. And I said, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he said, we're being robbed. And he knew right away. And he went and grabbed a key. And I go, do I get on the floor? I look around, and it's dead silent. And everybody, I can see that everyone's gotten down on the floor, that no one has spoken. We hear no voices. And I look up in the doorway, and not even 2 feet away from me is a man, I'm assuming, in full assault gear, holding an assault rifle, just standing there.
How was he dressed? Could you see his face?
No. He had on a balaclava, but it's a different kind of a balaclava, but fully covered with body armor, vest, and covers his calves were covered with something motorcycle. I equated it to something like a motorcycle calf covering, but it's not that.
Okay.
Straps across it looked like he could have had knives on either side. I only say that just because I used to scuba dive, and it looked like he had something on either side of his calf. I told the police this in an interview.
Yeah.
And, holding an assault rifle, pointed up at the ceiling.
What did they say?
Not a word. Well, calm. The energy from them was completely calm. There was calm voices. When they did speak, it was just calm voices.
What did they tell you?
The manager knew right away. The guy said, vault. And the manager said, here's the keys. And he said, move. Like, just pointed him. Like, and he just came with him. Now just walked out of his office.
Okay.
Left me there in the office. And so there was not a word. It was so silent. And I could just see from the shadows in the glass of the doors in that Bank of Montreal that there was, everybody was like on the ground, and I could see I could only see one person at a time, but I could hear another, like a voice.
Yes.
Like, a very, very soft voice, like almost whispering voice.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy like it's on the movies or anything.
Okay.
And he was pacing, like just walking back and forth past the office that I was in.
Yes.
Like he was going for a walk in the park, just pacing calmly back and forth, as if he was waiting for something.
It was two,
and,
yes?
Well, yeah. Yes, at the time.
Okay.
So as he paced by me, I was trying to hide by a chair, and I reached to my purse, and I grabbed the phone, and I called 911. And then I left it like an open line. And then just told them that there was two men with assault rifles, and get the police there right away, and there was hostages. And left it like an open line. And then I heard another voice tell everybody to get up and go into the vault. But they forgot about me. So for a while, they had missed me. I had been trying to hide, and then he kept facing this one person back and forth. And then I was trying to hide, and I guess he saw me because he stood there, looked at me, and motioned with a hand gesture to get up.
What did you do?
I slid the phone. I don't know, you second guess yourself. I slid the phone sort of so he couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And so I left that open line for the police, slid my cell phone and got up and followed him to where the other people were standing, which was a hallway, and everybody was standing lined up against the wall. I don't know if there was a vault or not, but stand up against the wall where you could not now see anything at all that was transpiring. And it was just dead silent the whole time.
What happened next?
And then we stood there and waited and waited and waited. And then you heard nothing. We heard nothing at all. We had no idea what was transpiring outside. We could not hear any sirens. I don't think there were any sirens. Nothing. We didn't know what was going on. And then there was, it was announced a loud voice, police. And then a hail of gunfire, and everybody ran to a room. I guess the employees know that there's a file room to hide in. I guess they're trained for this type of stuff.
Yes.
I went to a room that was right in front of me, which was right beside the hallway.
Yes.
And there was a hail of gunfire. That's what you heard. And I guess, yeah, it seems to take a long time, but I guess I now see the videos on social media. No, it's just terrifying to know that that was taking place outside. And I'm so deeply saddened and sorry that officers were injured in trying to attempt, like, doing that to help us get out safely. Because it seems that what I'm hearing in the media, the people in the bank, no one seems to know that the people were still in the bank.
No, Shelley, I didn't know. We didn't know. Like I'm learning all of this right now for the first time.
I know when I heard you speak this morning that you didn't seem to know that there were 22 people in the bank.
What happened after you heard the gunfire? Did people scatter? Did you duck?
No,
what did you do?
No. After the gunfire, the other 21 people had ran down the hallway. They didn't know where to go. They were mostly the employees. I believe there was about four customers.
Where did you go?
Well, there was a room that I was kind of in, like it was right, it was where you actually, I understand now, it's where you put your safety deposit boxes.
Yeah.
In that bank. And there's basically a shelf, and I was under the shelf. Yeah, it's by the hallway. I don't know if people who have been into that bank will know where I'm speaking about.
How long were you there for?
Well, it seemed like a really long time, but now that I've spoken with the police and stuff, I guess we were in there for an hour. And we waited then after the gunfire, then there was silence, and we just waited until we heard again police, and we kept waiting until actually we saw officers come in. And then they said they were still clearing the building to wait where we were, and then they, you know, kept going through the building. And there were some employees that were upstairs, a couple of women, the poor woman, excuse me, who was pregnant, was upstairs. She's an employee of the bank. She had hidden in the locked closet.
My God.
Yeah, she's in her third trimester. She had no idea what was going on. Through all she heard, she had apparently seen the gunman when they arrived, and couldn't alert anybody because it happened so quickly, and she locked herself in the closet upstairs and knew nothing and just heard gunfire, and then was like released by when the police came upstairs. And, you know, she's, of course, severely traumatized. Another manager, I believe, knew nothing, had heard maybe a silent alarm. I'm not sure what she said, but she was in the back, very back office, and again, knew nothing, and then heard gunfire, and then was released by the police. So these people had no idea what was going on.
When did you get your phone back?
Okay. Wow, that wasn't for a long time.
Okay, because I'm thinking, because you had no phone, you had no clock.
No, and the some people that did carry their phone to the back while we were waiting at the back, they were trying to maybe make some calls or texts, and they couldn't get, a line out. And I understand now that, maybe the lines weren't accessible.
Or they had you standing in a place where they knew the phones wouldn't work. I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
Okay.
Yeah. I do understand. There was an awesome officer, Samson. I got to give a shout out to him. He is with the Vic PD, but I don't know what branch. Anyway, he was one of the officers that came in after and was taking statements in our names and helping us and, you know, reassuring us, because we knew absolutely nothing that had transpired outside. We weren't able to have any, we didn't know anything. Okay, we didn't know anything at all. How many police were out there? Who had been injured? We didn't know anything. And then when somebody finally did get a hold of the branch, one of the branch, or maybe the spokesperson of the BMO, and to assure them that the employees were okay in the bank, they were speaking with them on their iPad, and he said something like, okay, so about the dead people.
Oh.
And then there was a customer in the bank, and she just really, really wanted to rush through the police officers that were standing in their way. We couldn't even see outside.
Yeah.
And because her husband had been outside waiting for her the whole time, in the parking lot. And that she assumed he was still in the parking lot waiting. She was so frightened.
Exactly.
And so, you know, her and I were saying, can you just please go find him? This is his name, and this is what he looks like. Can you just go out and get him and bring him in or something? Can't you just do something? We're innocent. We just came into the bank, and we're all innocent here. And another officer, I don't know his name, Scott, I think.
Yeah.
He's with Big PD. He went out, and then he came back, and he was so awesome because he told us, he assured us, no civilians have been injured. Because, you know, it's horrible. All these officers, I mean, everybody was doing this to save us and get us out of there safely, because it could have gone so horribly wrong. These guys were there, mass men. They looked like they stepped out of GTA, really. And there's another lady there, this poor old lady. And, you know, she just thought this was Texas all over, you know. That was another innocent customer. Everybody was innocent. And to hear, when they finally got us out, okay, so Officer Sampson, I'm sorry, you asked about my phone. They weren't going to let me take anything. My phone was down in their office with my purse and my car keys. My Bronco is still in the parking lot. It's being held as a crime scene.
Yeah.
I don't know if it got hit by bullets or anything. It might have. I don't know. They won't tell me anything.
Yeah.
But I said, please, can you just, I can't even get into my house if you don't get me my car keys and my cell phone, please. And they wouldn't let me go across the bank, walk across the floor. And finally, he said, okay, as they were taking us out, they got a transit bus for us. They were taking us out down the side, around the back of the building of the Bank of Montreal, they were going to take us by transit down to the PD station to take all our statements and record us all individually statements. And he, just before we left at around, I think it's 12:30, maybe 1 or 1 o'clock. No, I think it was like 12:30, although it seemed like so much longer. He went into the office and got it for me. And apparently the line was still open to 911. So that was awesome because he cleared it. He told them his badge number or something, and he cleared it.
You were the one who called in the cavalry, by the sounds of it, Shelley.
I guess I did.
You helped save everybody.
I don't know if that was brave or stupid. Because
that was very brave. That was exceptionally brave, Shelley. You should be proud of that.
Well, thank you. I just think it just could have gone horribly wrong if that guy had lowered his weapon at any time. But then at the same time, I don't really feel that I was that, like, their energy. I don't know what they wanted. That's what I'm thinking. What was this for? Like, they could have left. They could have just taken the money and left right away. What were they waiting for? They knew they couldn't have left. When I walked across that street, and I just looked up and down Shelburne, I know that area so well.
Yeah.
And the red and blue and all the officers, and I saw everything closed. I felt so safe. I felt so protected. All of that came out for us and helped us. I'm so thankful. I'm so, so grateful. I don't even know what to say today. I couldn't even sleep all night, like, for everything, for being scared, but then for being traumatized, for thinking about all the other people that were there and went through this. Then I remember reading some Twitters from the reporters, and I thought, oh, my gosh, the reporters, like, how traumatized are they? And that poor guy that has been there all night reporting, and, like, oh, my gosh, like, I forgot about that, and I feel bad that I forgot about other people.
No. You don't feel bad about anything, Shelley. You did everything right. You did your part, and you called it in. That's what all of us
Thank
do.
You,
and you know what happened from my point of view? I had people texting me and DMing me and Facebook messaging me saying, Adam, something just happened. I'm out in the West Shore, and I just saw a bunch of RCMP vehicles all together for no reason turn on their lights and literally scream down the highway in the other direction. I had people texting me from Sydney saying that they had the same thing.
Wow.
They were coming down. They were coming to save you.
Isn't that incredible? Like, I feel so, I'm so, like, I don't even have words. And I should have words because I talk a lot, as you just heard. Like, Adam, I'm just blown away. And, you know, Adam, thank you so much for keeping this up. Like, you keep all this stuff on the agenda. You keep it on the table. You keep talking about it every day. That's your job. They came out, and that's their job. But running toward gunfire, and I told the 911, there it's assault rifles. It isn't little pistols.
No.
It isn't a note being passed. And I'm really happy that I didn't know, but, you know, it went through my head really quickly. If a silent alarm goes off, the police don't know that it's assault rifles.
Not
they don't
necessarily.
Know what they're for robbery,
you helped.
Right?
Yep. You helped.
So
you warned them.
I thought, okay, good, because, and also, you don't know the mentality of whoever's in there either,
no.
Right? And I don't know either. Like, what were these guys? You know, I've been reading some texts on, you know, Twitter and Facebook,
yeah.
You know, and people are like, okay, it's really sorry that these guys were killed, but, oh, there should be an investigation into why the police shot and killed them.
Well,
why the police shot and killed them? Let me tell you.
Why?
How about an investigation? No, how about an investigation into what's the mentality? What happened? Why did these guys wait around? What were these guys trying to do? Why did they do this in the first place? Why were they armed with assault rifles in Saanich?
We don't know yet.
Do a robbery in daylight. No, that's the investigation. Not why the police shot and killed them. Of course that was going to happen when these guys meander their way out of a bank. What did they think was going to happen when they armed themselves with assault rifles and wait around for a half an hour? Did they think they were just going to walk out of the bank and get in their car and drive away?
We don't
know. Like, that's the investigation.
Shelley, I want to say
thank you
for... No, don't apologize at all. You need to get this off your chest, and I thank you for sharing
you.
It with us.
Thank you. I got to go to victim services now. That's another great...
We need to get your phone number, because we're going to want to talk to you more today, all right?
Okay, sure.
I'm going to put you on hold, and our producer is going to get your personal information, and we're going to make sure that we give you a platform, a safe space for you to tell your story. Shelley was a hostage in yesterday's situation, dramatic first-person account that we're all hearing for the first time. I'm still processing it here, as I'm sure many of you are. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to say thank you to Shelley. I want to say thank you to every single first responder who came to the rescue yesterday. I want to say thank you to every single person who managed to keep it together. I do what I do to try to do my part for a system that protects the innocent, Shelley. All the thanks in the world that I'm sure those police officers will ever need and all of us will ever need is the fact that you are alive today to tell your story, because it sounds like yesterday. What the hell happened there? There are still more questions than answers.